Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to discuss what everybody wants to hear. Everybody wants an answer to what is mental toughness. And we've done this a few times, Jeff. We've talked about the fine line between mental toughness and stupidity. We've talked about all the different ways that you can build mental toughness. We also talked about how we have some naturally ingrained survival instincts in us. In a fight or flight response moment, there is some mental toughness that is also involved that you may not even realize you have until you've gone through those moments. But I think for most people, they just want to be a little tougher, right? And they want to be a little more confident in their abilities to get through hard situations. For instance, a selection process that has an 80% attrition rate. So how can we frame this for people so they can understand a little bit about, the way to develop that, way to cultivate it?
Yeah, I think that, again, I think we're just trying to formulate different ways to explain how to achieve it after, our experiences, right? How our ideas of mental toughness has changed or evolved over our time periods, right? As athletes and coaches. But I think that's the thing with using the word mental toughness or use the word resiliency or mindset and all those sort of things. Those are practices, not single events, right? We're talking about mental toughness or resiliency, these things. What we tend to do, what society tends to display is you're going to go through this single event that might last a day or two, maybe three, maybe a week. And in Bud's case, we could say it's a 27 week selection course that is trying to condition you. It's trying to condition a behavior, right? That's what we're doing. What is mental toughness? The toughness we exhibit is a behavior that is created in a routine, right? And the problem is trying to create mental toughness with a bad routine is going to create bad mental toughness or poor mental toughness or maladaptation of it. So I think that's what we got to say is whatever you're using to bracket your focus of mental toughness, if that mental toughness event isn't something that you plug into your life and it stays with you like a train car for the rest of your life and it gets better and bigger and better and bigger, resiliency isn't something you achieve and then you don't have to do it anymore. Mental toughness is something that you begin to acquire. You recognize that you're starting to gain in that mental aptitude, that focus. And how do we do that? We're doing it in the training, in the practice. So that, I think that my long soapbox speech, guys, is if you're in a mental toughness or mindset practice and it only lasts a day, a week, or even only lasts 6 months, it ain't real, right? It has to be a daily practice that you've incorporated into many facets of your life, not just trying to be tough and working out hard.
I agree, Jeff. In fact, let me give you a little scenario. I have had guys come to me and say, hey, I want to do this endurance race. It's 100 miles long. I've done a marathon 2 months ago. I want to do this and just gut check it. I'm like, first of all, I don't recommend doing that because no one event is going to make you mentally tough, right?
Truth.
That is a
one
gut check.
Big shitty event will break you down.
Yeah, that, like I said, sometimes there's those lines between mental toughness and stupidity. And here's where it gets stupid is when I say to you, look, okay, you go run 100 miles this weekend. I'm going to continue doing my 25 miles a week for the next 4 weeks, and I'll match your 100 miles. Takes me a month to do it, but let's see who runs the most in 2 months. Right? Because that inevitably, I would say at least 60 to 75% of the people who run those type of races are not running for multiple weeks afterwards because they're nursing some form of tendonitis if they're lucky. They have some shin splints. And worst case scenario, they have stress fractures where they're down from any impact for 2 months. And sure enough, at the end of 2 months, I've run 200 miles and they've run 100 miles in the same time period. Yep. Now, I say you build mental toughness by those short early morning events when you don't feel like getting up, but you get up anyway, and you build just a little more scoop, put it back into your drink of mental toughness, because every single day, right? And being consistent every single day is the way to do that. It's not one event that makes you mentally tough. It's not 100%. A movie. It's not a poster. It's not this podcast.
No,
this podcast is not going to make you mentally tough, but it will give you a roadmap to understand
the truth.
That
consistency, I was trying to offer you guys the truth.
The consistency will build mental toughness.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep saying that we agree with each other, but that's the reality is this, guys, is opinions aside, in the world of performance, like really high-end human performance, cognitive and physical, like what doesn't work is what you see of like the former guy yelling and screaming at somebody at some event, because that me berating and yelling and degrading someone, yes, granted, they're being paid to go do these gut check events. That's awesome. But the reality is this, guys, is that any cadre or staff that's willing to yell at you in your face, get in your face and yell and scream at you to develop mental toughness is a buffoon, is a straight buffoon, right? And what they're doing to you is counterintuitive to actually your physiology, right? Because Stu could not be more correct, but unfortunately, I agree. It's the most unsexy thing in the world is to be consistent. But it is the only way. And anyone selling this mental toughness nonsense, right? If they don't live that lifestyle, like really live that lifestyle, it's nonsense because they're just lying to you, right? Like, and that's the thing is you got someone that's yelling at you about being accountable, but they in actually their own life is the farthest from accountability. And so that's the beauty is like what we have done. And I've been guilty of it. I'm saying I'm not stewing at this bus, but me, I've been guilty of like overinflating what it is that I'm trying to share with you. It's like, I don't need to do that. What you're asking me yourself anyway is already hard enough, right? We don't need to pile on my antics and my nonsense about what you're going to experience. It's going to suck, but that's the whole point, right? That's the catch, guys. Let me just say this. There are two different kinds of people that are going to show up for selection. Guys that know that it's tough and that's what they want because that's the selection. They want to get through and they want the cadre to go, yep, they endured it, right? The last thing you want to do is kind of skate through the selection and go, right? You want to get through it knowing you did everything you was asked of you. And that's mentally tough. Like, and if doing these single bouts and getting yelled at and screamed at, it's like, because the difference is when someone's yelling and screaming at you in the civilian environment, where's the carrot? There's no special operations selection certificate at the end of it. All you do is got a former guy yelling and screaming at you. And most of the people you look at their sort of background, right? Why is this guy who has no combat experience fucking yelling at me? Right. Yeah. That's what you get.
Well, I will say this. If there's anything that comes out of that, that's good for somebody is that you get used or it helps you better manage negative feedback, right? I'm not a yeller. I call that like instructor mode, which is exhausting. I'd much rather be a coach and be helpful and fix technique issues, you know, come up with better tactics to be able to produce a better result, you know, those things as a coach, that's what I enjoy doing. I think I've probably yelled twice in 20 years at a student. And it was because they
probably,
were doing
it was
something,
probably dangerous. He was probably
was
being
doing something
unsafe.
Stupid that was going to hurt other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's same with me. It's like, believe it or not, I'm sure people don't believe this at all, but like, I haven't yelled at an shit, man. The last time I yelled at an athlete, like, I was probably in college. I mean, I can raise my voice and be pretty ugly at times. I certainly might, but in this bit, in here, I've never yelled at anyone. I'm the same way. I can believe it or not. Like, I'm actually pretty, really quite chill here. So, like, I guess that's the idea, guys. Is like, so we look at mental toughness because the other he just mentioned some of the things too. Is like, a single carrot is not going to motivate a multitude, right? So yes, maybe someone does really good at like that aggressive yelling and screaming, right? But that's the default mode in selection to create stress. You create an environment of stress. It's purpose. Like these guys aren't actually yelling and screaming. Like they're playing a role, right? But then you see someone in the civilian world that's yelling and screaming at you, playing a role that they used to play. Like it's all fake. Like it's all bullshit. And so you look at it and go, well, where's the value? Well, the value is in selection because the carrot is if you screw up, you go away. Well, if you screw up in a civilian sort of mental toughness, like what do? You already paid for it, man. Like you got the brown t-shirt and you're cool. So the reality is that the world of selection and assessment isn't formulating programming off of those gut checks. Keep that in mind. Like the Navy SEAL program isn't molding a program after all these Navy SEAL mental toughness nonsensical things you got going on. It's the other way around, folks. These nonsensical Navy SEAL selection things are trying to bastardize what is actual selection. If you're trying to bastardize that which you're trying to get these guys to go into, to me, I see that as a huge disrespectful thing. It's like, you know, you've been through it. Why are you yelling at these people? Like, teach them. They're not in buds. Yeah, I get it. It's the cool guy, beat your chest, I'm a former Navy SEAL idiocy, but it doesn't work. And the fact that they think that it does is the fact they're either complicit or they're ignorant, and neither one of them are okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have, like I said, there's ways to develop a person, right? And that is really, as a coach, what we're trying to do. And yes, there are mental toughness components to it. Yes. You know, being able to handle negative feedback is important, because there's a lot of people who go, or, you know, type A personalities that are just constantly perform well. You know, they've never really failed anything in their life. And then they show up to a program like Bud's where everybody's failing something. I mean, you're just having a bad day and you fail something. Like, doesn't have to be an actual test that is being written down and you're a failure and can get kicked out. But there's something that is forcing you to failure, and you may not do something correctly, and you receive this negative feedback for the very first time in your life. And I have seen people not make it through the training and quit because of this negative feedback gets so deeply enlodged in their head. And that is something that is a skill that you have to learn, is to not let them get in your head. That is another form of mental toughness that can be developed from you being used to negative feedback. And where I give an example of this is my daughter, who did 15 years of ballet. And her ballet teachers were harsh, because she would come out of there and like says, I don't think I did anything right. Right. And I would see her through the window. I said, it looked beautiful. What are you talking about? You know, and I would say, show me what you did wrong. And she did like this, but her hand was supposed to be like this. Right. I mean, it's just such minor thing. And I just realized right then that you are going to be so much better because you are handling all of this negative feedback, you know, and coming back stronger, right? And coming back better. So there's some value to that, but I prefer, to be honest with you, to get that through your athletic history, you know, like being a football player or being a baseball player, where you screw up a play. You know, you're getting constant feedback from that coach of where you screwed up and how you need to fix it. And you come back stronger and get it. So I understand the whole thinking where you think you got to get used to negative feedback to make you more mentally tough. And maybe that's one way to do it. Maybe you do it through like what Mitch Aguiar does with smashing greens, 1 week diet plan, where all you do is a shake for every meal for a week. You think being hungry doesn't challenge your mental toughness? It's very challenging, right? Yeah, that's another way to do it.
There's a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
And that's not, and I think that that's the thing that so many of us are trying to, you know, to get on the same page is like, let's just say that in a, you know, in for most humans in a time in their life, they reach these kind of moments of ups and downs. We tend to find ourselves in the down. A lot of humans, we either like start really trying to self-care, right? Like, you know, a lot of people during COVID will say ton of self-care. A lot of people didn't, but that, again, it's a crisis. A lot of people wanted to get their hair done and go to the gyms and get their nails done. It was very counterintuitive to this, what was going on. So, but you see this reflex. And so when someone is like, has this urge to go to the selection, right? What you hear so many people talk about is the mental aspect of it, the mental toughness of it. And so we go, okay, yeah, that's right. I need to have mental toughness. And so what are those people inevitably going to do? They're going to grab into the former world. Let's look at all what these formers are saying for mental toughness. And what you see is by and large, the huge, huge majority is all these formers are saying, do wrong runs, beat yourself up, like all this terrible, terrible, stressful stuff, which you go, well, that makes sense. I'm going to go through this very terrible, stressful environment. It probably makes sense to go through all these terrible, stressful things. No, those are events of test, not events of development. And we have to understand that most of the time when you're being preached to about mental toughness, you got to take in consideration. Like, it's like, think about it. I'm 44. I'm going to sit here and go, you guys gave me mental tough. It's like, how easy is it for me to sit here and say that? I've been through it. Right. I have this lens. Of course, man. Of course, I'm going to be like, society should listen to me. It's like, now I'm saying, okay, well, I've been through it all. But I as a coach, it's not right for me to expect you all to just jump right into the train with me. Right. I as a coach need to have enough compassion to realize where you're coming from, because that is where I can help you develop mental toughness, is meet you where you're at. Not meet you where Jeff Nichols' ego thinks you should be, right? And that's what I think we are giving a misservice. It's not that those big yelling events can't be of great use. They are for some people, but we have to create the context around that yelling for some, and for some that context of mentorship is there. You know, it's not always the stick and the carrot. And I think that when you, a person, all they ever use is the stick or all they ever use is a carrot, you are lying to the people you're teaching.
You know, I think where we do a disservice to discussing mental toughness, and I look at that, I've written articles about it. I've done other podcasts with you individually about it. And, you know, we really kind of beat a dead horse to a degree. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I think people want some fresh ideas. One of the best ideas I've ever heard, or comments I've ever heard, came from Jocko. And people, you know how he'll answer questions about mental toughness, or, you know, he'll just answer questions. And he is probably one of the most concise people with this answer that I've heard. And he says, do you want to be, you want mental toughness? He says, just get tougher, right? Do tough things, right? And he's not wrong. And it's like a basic consistency of doing tough things. And like, his thing is jujitsu, right? He loves to add in jujitsu. He does workouts in jujitsu and he just does tough things. Another one I heard, a really good definition of mental toughness, and this is probably one of my favorites to kind of bring it to a short definition for people. It's finding the fuel when the tank is empty, right? How do you do that? You know, that's a hard one to explain. How do you find the fuel when the tank is empty? But it kind of leaves it back to you, and you have to go search for that method, right? You have to find the way that, you know, whenever you don't feel like working out and you're so pissed at yourself because you don't feel like working out, that you go work out anyway, right? That's finding the fuel when the tank is empty.
Yep.
Right. Are you really exhausted where you can't work out and you need a day off? Or is it just your head playing with you, telling you you're fatigued and you don't need to go work out? There's a difference. Like 2 days ago, I took a day off because I was burned out. I did two workouts. I sweat my ass off. And then I moved my son into college the same day. you know, which took 3 hours, three flights of stairs and 100-yard walk to the car every trip. And I was exhausted. Yeah. You know, so the next day, in fact, I was cramping in bed at night. Yeah. You know, I could not rehydrate enough. I just want a day where I don't sweat.
Right. And see, you gotta understand, guys, like Stu is experiencing that as a byproduct of being too consistent. Like, that's the point of all this, guys, is that mental toughness is not, it's a continuum, but it's always going to change. Right. And we gotta understand that it's really hard to find self-compassion yourself to go, like Stu is like, recognize he worked out, he helped his son. I go like, oh my God, there's a difference between recognizing you pushed it and like you've been pushing it and you're now calling yourself a pussy. Like there's a big difference, guys. Like really understand that, like that's not the mental self-talk we need you to have, because that calling self-deprecating self-talk that you create in training, it's going to show up in selection. And that same self-doubt is the exact same verbiage the cadre are telling you. Why? It's a game, guys. They know what your self-doubts are. That's the why they've been taught it. They've been trained it. There's curriculum around being a BUDS instructor you have to learn, right? There's medical nuances. There's physical body language nuances that they need to know and learn. Why? Because they're looking for these physical triggers of stress so they can put more on you, right, in that selection environment. Now, that is why every single day doing like Jocko does it perfectly. Like, what's more unsexy about getting up every day early? Nothing. The context of it, like that's what you need to learn, is like, oh, he gets up early. Yeah, fuck. The context of why is he doing it?
Yeah.
It's the why, not the he's doing it. Because a person can get up every single day despite it. Like, I got to get up every day and work hard. That's a big difference between getting up at 4 o'clock every morning. It's like, this is what I'm setting my lifestyle up to be. Jocko isn't doing the 4 a.m. stuff. He's living it, right? So don't pretend. Be it, right? Yeah. And that's what mental toughness is, actually being it, not wearing the t-shirt, not yelling at somebody and pretending that you are. Be really unsexy today, guys. Take care of yourself. Take care of the people around you. Eat right. Get a good training in. And if you're overtrained, take care of yourself and take a day off. That is mental toughness right there. Yeah. By doing the right thing, recognizing what you need and giving yourself what you need on a daily basis, even if what you need is a little bit less today because you worked so hard the day before. That's mental toughness.
That's really good, because you know there is a roadmap to it. And it starts off with everybody's inspired to do something. Like, you can find inspiration just anywhere. It can be the person down the street who served. It can be, you know, the Navy SEAL movie or whatever, you know, that poster, right? That is a inspirational thing. You know, when you see Goggins running and talking, and, you know, he is inspiring a lot of people. Love him or hate him, he is inspiring a lot of people to do things. Now, I think there's a fine line between mental toughness and stupidity. And if you're broken all the time, you're going past that line of mental toughness. And, you know, but he is actually helping a lot of people too. Now, there's a motivation that, you know, has to come from within. You might be inspired from external forces, but you are now motivated within. That has to be a self-motivation process. And then while you're motivated, you have to do something that is very important. Otherwise, you will not see what mental toughness is. And that is build habits. While you're motivated, you build these good habits where you're getting up at the same time to train. You're training regardless. You have a system where you keep doing it consistently. And then those good habits turn into discipline. Right. You now have discipline. So when you're not motivated to go train and you don't feel like training, you go train anyway, because you have discipline to go do it. That is the next level to becoming mentally tough. And then, you know, that discipline allows you to become mentally tough. You don't become mentally tough without any of that process.
You can't sustain your behavior without habit.
Yeah.
Your behaviors are what stood up by your habits. Exactly. Like that's what I'm saying. Like mental toughness is an emotional, it's an emotional state, right? Like that's all these things are. They are emotional states that lead to a physical, right, manifestation of reaction. Like that's what Buds is. It's putting all this physical stress, emotional stress to create a physical outcome, right? Either you get through it or you don't. And like, you know, granted, like we can talk about all day about like processes, like what process, like who do you, are you gonna, because here's the thing is there's a lot of really good processes out there. It's just that like, so like I'm stating a process to a sense. Stu has got his own little process. Jocko, Dave, these guys, it's like, the multitude of people in the civilian population or whatever that are trying to find that inspiration from these individuals. The beauty is that they probably, in as much they all could work. It just depends on where a person finds himself in life, right? Because like my point is someone might hear your words and take to them, make way more sense the way that you deliver the information, Stu. Same with me. And so I think that that's like what I would encourage you guys to do is I want you to stop looking at everyone as like, I'm just going to do Stu's process or just Dave's or just Jocko's or just Mitch's. I think that we're all doing it or we all have something to offer. And I think what it is you should do is find something to offer within each one of those individuals, because you're going to find a more holistic, achievable process if you pull from different multiple good data points rather than just pulling all this information out of one individual's process. It doesn't mean you can like anyone's process any less, but I think that if you are open to a multitude of processes, you'll go, oh, that's what they mean. Like, I'm not supposed to be a Jocko or a Jeff or a Stu. I'm supposed to be a John Smith with his own process.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You got to find what works for you. And, yeah. You know, you only do that by reaching out and trying them. But here's the thing, no matter which process you use, you will not succeed unless you are consistently doing that process.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't bounce around. Right.
Consistency like is the answer.
Yeah. Like be, it's like I say, it's like a type of exercise, man. You may really love CrossFit. You may love powerlifting. You may love like, doesn't matter which one, as long as you're if your heart's there and it's getting you to the gym every day, it really doesn't matter. And then like, once you have that consistency, then the next obvious question should be, hey, I'm going to clean up my quality. I've got my consistency. I'm going to the gym every day. It's like, I'm working on my mental toughness every single day. What does that mean? I have to make my things within my process. I have to refine them, not just be like, I got the book. I just got to follow the steps. Like the steps are going to evolve too.
Well, here's another thing too, is one of the reasons why it's good to kind of, you know, understand that there are multiple ways to do this is that we all have a certain amount of strengths and weaknesses. And if you want to build mental toughness, challenge your weakness, like try to take a weakness and turn it into a strength. One, we typically don't like our weaknesses. That's why they're weaknesses, because we don't do them, right?
Yep.
You're a powerlifting football player. You don't like running long distance.
Yeah, you don't want to switch your grip on the deadlift either. Like all these things that you resist.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing, right?
Yeah, you don't like doing that. But you do it anyway, and you get better at it to a point where it's no longer a weakness, and you have been able to turn yourself into a well-rounded athlete that can endure types of selection programs in the military that require you to have strength and power and speed and agility and muscle stamina and endurance and be able to run, ruck, and swim and, you know, have some flexibility, mobility, and understand your recovery process and nutrition and sleep and hydration and electrolytes. You know, all of those things come into making you a better athlete, but you know, without consistency, none of it matters.
Yeah. you won't be able to turn over all of those necessary stones to develop true, authentic mental toughness. Like, it really takes, and I get it, guys. Like, it may appear that, like, this book, this New York Times of mental toughness, like, say, Jocko's book, it drops. It's like the information inside of it, it's really not, how do I say this? This is a credit to Jocko. It's not new, right? What he's saying isn't like, hey, I came up with this my last 4 months in the teams and here's what it is. It's like, basically all it is he is, I guess, sharing with the population what it's taken for the world to get to a point where they recognize him as what he is, right? That's what it is. It's like, hey, how does the world recognize me as Jocko? Well, they've recognized me because of my lifestyle that I've had for all these years, that now I present myself as this person, this idea, this useful, like, it's Jocko, right? That's how we know him, based on his life experiences. It's not like I came, he's like, I said, he's like, get out of the teams, come up with a plan and share it. No, he had the plan because that's his life, you know? Yeah. Like, and that's like, what are we sharing? It's like, he's sharing his lifestyle, guys. And that happens to be his process. Like, and that's what everyone does. Like, anyone that we look up to about, like, Tony Robbins, all this stuff, it's like, well, how did they get there? Process. The really, really unsexy process. But it works every single time.
Consistency will win, you know, for you. And you will develop all of these things that you need to develop. And it is a stepping stone of development, you know, to build mental toughness. It's not a one-time thing that you're going to be mentally tough. Now, you may have mental toughness and you test it and you pass the test. That's great. But you didn't develop mental toughness, right? You develop mental toughness one day at a time, years of doing it.
And that's the guys we understand is like, that's what Buds is offering you guys as well. Like, if you have the mental aptitude, allow that opportunity to continue to forge more mental toughness for the job that it's asking of you in the future. That's why, like, why is a job so demanding of mental toughness? Because that's the job requirement. That's it. That's the job requirement. Like it or not, like, that is a real accurate job requirement. Like, you've got to be able to endure, you know, on a certain level.
Yeah. You know, any program that has an 80%+ attrition rate is pushing people to their limits physically, but also mentally. I mean, I've seen many people who have gone to Buds could pass any physical fitness test, any physical event at Buds, but when it came down to the grind, the negative feedback, the failure of whatever event it was, you know, just the end of the day, like you just ran out of energy or whatever, or the anticipation of the next event. Anxiety is a big killer at Buds. Every single event that you're about to do is the hardest event ever and no one passes. Right. That is the thing that they're trying to put into your head to make you have anxiety all night before the event starts. And I've seen people have panic attacks and not start the next day. Right. They are done before it even started. They got into their head before the event even tested their physical abilities. Yeah. It tested their mental abilities and their
if you like right now sit there quietly and start visualizing that, like, first phase, second phase, where you show up to the run or the event and you're like, you know, like, I remember being there going, like, I'm totally, like, first 3 weeks of Buds, I'm like, I'm totally equipped. I'm like, why am I feel like my chest is gonna jump out of my heart, like, and I realized, like, I realized it was like, like, I've inherently never really cared about something quite so much. Like, I was so attached to I want to succeed. Like, I really want this. Yeah. And I remember, but after Hell Week, a lot of that kind of subsided for me. It's still like those tests and second, third phase runs. There's always a sense of,
there's some adrenaline pump
where I was like,
You know what I call that? I call that like pregame jitters.
You bet. You know, you bet. You're about to go. As soon as it started, done.
You're about to compete. You're a little fired up. That's a good thing. You know,
yeah.
That's a good thing. You know, you want to care.
Dark. Yeah. Yeah. Without that level of excitement. Now, if that excitement overtakes you, you get anxiety issues. But yeah. You guys understand that, like, well, here's the thing too, guys. And I think is a good way, place for me to shut up is you must understand. And this is where you've been lied to a degree is there's all these mental toughness things that develop to build. So you feel less stress, right? We say less stress is kind of the goal, right? You kind of arbitrarily go, oh, I want to be more mentally tough so I can deal with more stress. Even we can say that. Okay. But at the end of the day, it is the stress of that want. Like, I really believe in what I'm doing. I've been training hard for it. I made it to the selection. I want to do this. That want, that inherent desire to want, right? That right there is super important. A lot of people, you start losing that want in the moment because stress is getting you. And you're like, whoa. Like, remember that. Remember that's what you're there for. Is like you that stress is necessary to perform at a high level. It has to be like that want has to be there. Otherwise, you do great. Just take a whole bunch of Valium and you could say totally chill through the whole thing and everybody's stressed out. That's not a piece of advice, guys. I'm just being silly here. Yeah. But that's the opposite. You're going to get so chilled, take a whole bunch of Valium and Xanax and be like, yeah, I totally do this. No, you need that. Whew, okay, this is serious, Jeff. Let's go get at it. Let's go do it. You know, you need that.
Yeah, I like that. I actually wrote an article a while back ago. Is like, what do you say to yourself when your will is tested? Right? When you're sitting in that cold water and the day has turned to night, you don't see an end in sight to this evolution, and you're cold, you're dark, it's dark, you're hungry, you're just wet and sandy, and everything's not going very well for you and your entire class. There's just no end in sight. You know, what do you say to yourself when there's that part of your brain that realizes this really sucks? Is this something that I really want to do? Right? Before you even get those words out of thinking, you better have an answer to that of why you're doing this. So it's like kind of determine your why. You know, what is your why? Remember it when your will is tested. You know, even so if you don't like, lose your want. You know, how bad is your want to
change? Yeah, some of that can change, guys, but you also remember to Stu's point, like, remember you did this on purpose. Like, that's the thing, is like no, you guys are still voluntarily volunteering. What a weird thing, right? Like, like that is an interesting sort of thing that people will say that provides an opportunity for me to quit. Like, that's my level of comfort. I know that little whoopee in your back of your head is like, I know I can quit. Like, no, like me wanting to be there is why I'm not going to quit. There's my rationale right there. When in doubt, remember you did it on purpose.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, and again, that's the thing, guys, is for those of you that are cut from the same cloth as Stu and I emotionally, you're not sitting there wondering if you're going to make it. You're just listening to us going, yeah, okay, I got it. I hear what they're saying. I'm there. Like, there's a difference. You're either a guy going, oh man, I hope I got what it takes, or other than someone, the other person's going to go, I need to train so I'm ready. That's the difference. You're either going to train to get ready or you're going to hope. And hope never was a catalyst for success.
Yeah.
Hope is merely a catalyst for entitlement. That is it, man. You hope. Well, I want it more than the next person. I want. But you didn't practice. Yeah, but I'll die before I quit. Yeah, but you never prepared. Yeah, I'll never quit. Well, they're going to drop you in the first day because you can't do it. I don't care what your level of ignorance is. Basically, like, show up. Like, how do we know if you're mental tough? Go do it. Don't talk about it. Go do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's so many. there's so many ways to discuss this topic that it's really kind of exhausting, to be honest with you. I mean, I just tend to go in circles and kick that dead horse. And it's just, you know, in the end, it comes down to you being consistent. You will consistently improve your mental toughness by consistently working, right? And doing tough things. You know, that's the way it works. It doesn't have to be so tough that it hurts you and
it's relative.
Put you in the hurt locker for a month. You know, it can be something that's just challenging, that challenges the energy systems in your body, to what you have available, you know, to where you have to dig deep a little bit to finish the workout. I mean, those are awesome days. You know, they don't need to be every day, but they need to be thrown in there occasionally. Yep. That's why I like to do the spec ops triathlons. You know, yeah. 4 mile run, 4 mile ruck, and a 1 mile swim starts to get hard, you know, after a little bit. They're only 2-3 hours, but still.
Yep.
You know, it's a good challenge. It's not too much to where you're going to fall apart, but at the same time, it's enough to like run low on.
Oh, you got to experience what a deficit is and be able to work through it and train through it and go like, okay, because you got to recognize that you're going to be exhausted by design. And then you want to be able to do that in training to a point to go, okay, I've been here before. I'm training in it now. And that helps me create ways to offset that mental grind. It's like, okay, I got to be in it. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's, you have to have some experiential tough training. You can't just talk about it and read the books. You know, if you, like you said, if you do it too often, you're going to overtrain, but there needs to be a point of we do the same thing here. It's like we say at least once every 4 to 6 weeks, create what we, you know, kind of like a monster mash, a gut check, like, but one that you can do successfully being work through it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be real hard. It's going to last a couple hours. That is worth doing. Not like I said, every 4 to 6 weeks, do it at least once. So that's where I would say to start. Start by listening to what we have to say. If any of this makes sense, go from there.
And, you know, I'm sure you're all motivated to do something right now, right? And just understand that motivation has to create good habits. Those good habits have to create discipline, and that discipline will drive you towards mental toughness. So it is a journey for you. Yep. And don't get too confused by all the different ways to do it and all the different methods that are out there. Is that realize that through consistency, you're going to go through those levels and eventually accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Good way to end it.
Cool, man. Well, thank you, Jeff. Hey, if you guys are in the Virginia Beach area, check out performancefirstus.com. That's Jeff's program down there. In fact, the other day I had somebody ask me, hey, I live in Virginia Beach. Are there any guys like you that train? I said, what rock are you under?
It's funny because I was saying, like, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people we've trained. You know how many people local we've trained? Three.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. We get a lot of out-of-staters.
Weird. Yeah. So yeah. It's like, and you know how there's a really big debt program here, a giant debt program.
That's huge.
It's like we have better rapport with South Carolina than we do in Virginia with the recruiters. I got you, Chief Ryan down there, super great, man.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that Instagram duet you did.
Yeah, he's going to actually bring some of his guys up, apparently, saying we're going to kind of do a little trade of service. Like the commander of that region, the lieutenant commander, the O5, has reached out to us and wants to bring his debt program up here for a day or two.
Nice.
So, like, that'd be awesome. Like, you know, like finally getting, like, that's one of the things that I haven't been nice enough to do is build rapport with some of the recruiters. So, this is, Catherine's got me on the right track, but I'm starting to talk to him and answer questions and not be so combative with him, but he's been great. He's been great.
Yeah. So. That's awesome. Hey, I do the same thing here in Maryland region, and it's very rewarding for sure. And there's, you know, it helps teach the process, you know, to people who may not really understand the process yet.
Yeah. And we are, you know, like, we've talked about this before, is like, man, you got to kind of give the recruiters a bit of a break, right? There's things you need, you owe them, right? Respectfully, you owe them. So that's the other side too, is I want to be able to broadcast on our eyes, guys, like, hey, you're a recruiter, man. Give respect to the recruiter, like, show up ready, show up with the information. Yeah. Don't be a jerk. So
yeah, they will take you seriously too. You show up on day one and you crush that PST. They will take you seriously. And it won't be the situation where you call your recruiter and he doesn't get back to you for 7 days. You know, they're going to call you and say, hey, you're ready to roll. Let's get this paperwork going and boom, get you out of here.
Yep, you bet. So,
but they'll work with you because they realize you're serious, you're mature, and you're ready to roll. So, They see, unfortunately, they see a lot of the opposite. They see a lot of people who don't know anything about it, have never even swum 500 yards before.
I haven't even tried.
Don't even know what the CSS is. I mean, don't even know what the PST is. And when they show them the PST, they say, well, what other jobs do you have?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a lot what they deal with. So anyway, performancefirstus.com. Check them out. That's over there. Jeff Nichols in Virginia Beach, stusmithfitness.com right here in Annapolis, Maryland area. And happy to assist.
You bet. So, send emails, send questions, and we'll get you some more of these videos, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks again, Jeff. I know it's been busy, and congrats on your wedding. And
sir.
Yeah, so it's been a busy time
back
for
the honeymoon. Got COVID, and now we're licking our wounds. But what a weird thing! Like, it's been a weird week, honestly. It's good though. So I appreciate it, Stu, guys. Yeah, reach out to me if you guys have any questions.
All right, guys. Until next time. This is Jeff Nichols and Stu Smith signing off. We'll see you later.